Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today I have the pleasure of having one of my friends join me. You've probably heard me say it in the past that part of one of my blessings of Lyme is all the amazing friendships I've met along the way. And my next guest, Ricky, is one of them. And so I really appreciate him joining me today. And we're going to share just a little small part of his journey because I really want to dive into mindset today. Mindset, the emotional side of Lyme, all the things that sometimes we don't think about during this journey. And I just think they're really important topics. And, you know, I didn't meet Ricky until after my journey. And he has just taught me so many things that I wished I would have known during my journey. And so I'm so happy to be able to have him come on and share with you listeners the things that I wished I would have known, right? And so he learned this, and he's going to kind of share just a brief part of his story, but then we're just going to kind of dive into all the stuff. So hopefully you guys take away so many things from this because it's really going to be a great episode. So I'm super excited. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me, Ricky.
No, thank you so much for having me. So grateful to be here. And like you, I've met so many people, and you being one of them, that we become friends and talk often, that this amazing journey has given back. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know it's already hard enough to get a Lyme journey in, you know, in under an hour session. So I'm going to put you to the challenge. If you could, just for the listeners, maybe take 5 minutes and just kind of share what got you here, why you're here, kind of a little bit of your journey, and then we'll just kind of dive into all the other stuff.
Sure. I will do my best because the key thing is I want to share what I've learned from my journey and how I was able to heal. But like many, I started out with, you know, a few symptoms, numbness in my legs and things like that, which, you know, I went to the doctor. And living in Western PA, Lyme was an idea in my mind that I did have my doctor test me for. This is really the start of my journey. And so my primary care physician ordered a test, and it was through the hospital, came back positive, but when they ran for the bands, it didn't detect any. So they said it was a false positive and redid the test. And it came back positive again, but only with a few bands.
Which is common, right? So probably not CDC positive.
Yes, was not positive. Still, she didn't give me any antibiotics, wouldn't do anything like that. But what she did was referred me to infectious disease. Infectious disease said there's something wrong. She didn't know what, but it definitely wasn't Lyme.
Definitely not.
I might have had it at some point in my life, but I don't have it now. Nothing to worry about. So that really started the whole merry-go-round of doctors. She passed me from infectious disease to I had quickly just my labs were way off. Liver enzymes, kidney, creatine kinase, all of that was off the charts. My cholesterol was 450. Mind you, I was working out. I was doing CrossFit. I was eating healthy. So it just didn't seem right. So I bounced from doctor to doctor. I saw over a dozen doctors over a course of 2 years is really the 2 year spectrum there. Finally, in desperation, I had a friend of mine recommend a Lyme literate doctor. And so I was pretty much hopeless at that point. No doctor could tell me what was wrong. I had emergency room visits, air hunger, just so many symptoms, all of those things. So he ran the Igenix test and it came back positive for Lyme disease. At that point, there was not a part of my body that was not affected. brain fog, you know, just the laundry list of symptoms that I know everybody out there has experienced in one way, shape, or form. While it was a relief to have an answer, it really set in the reality of, hey, there's no cure for this. This is for life. And that got me into a deeper state of depression. I personally was against medications and antibiotics at that point. And so we started a natural kind of protocol, if you will. And I got worse. I got much worse. And he said that I was herxing. And I didn't realize that. I just par for the course at that point. My relationship with my family was severely strained. My wife and I were on the verge of divorce, just kind of giving the broad picture here. And I'd really hit rock bottom. I was ready to check myself out of this. I had two young daughters at the time. I feared being in a wheelchair. I feared dying. And I was sick and tired, so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just desperately wanted to be the dad, the husband, the person I knew I could be. And it felt like Lyme was stripping everything from me.
Yeah.
And I hit rock bottom.
Yeah. You know, and that happens with so many of us. We, you know, I think many of us become suicidal because we've lost all hope. And not to kind of do the gender thing, but I think, or I feel, it could be a little bit tougher even for men versus women, right? Because the man's supposed to be the man of the house and bring in the money and take care of the family. And you can't even take care of yourself, let alone these young children. So I'm thinking, you know, we go through this process of they're going to be better off without me. And, you know, and that's kind of the reality, what so many of us go through. And that's why I think the emotional side of this journey is just so important to talk about. And we don't often do it, right? You know, just mental health in general, you know, there's still so many stigmas around it in the world. And it's really sad. And it's a huge part of our journey. So I'm excited that you're going to share, because I mean, you know, like I said, we've been friends. I know your story and it's just incredible. And you truly inspire me every day and I'm constantly learning things from you. So we never quit learning even when we get well, right?
Right. Absolutely. I'm a student of life and just fully embracing every chance I get for a new experience and a new opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely.
But, so that's basically my story in a nutshell up until that point. I'm going to take you to after my diagnosis, roughly about 4 weeks, I was at rock bottom. I was really contemplating how I was going to take myself out. I felt I was better served to not be a burden to my family anymore. And I couldn't imagine another day in pain and just misery. But one thing happened, and you know what this one is.
I love it.
My youngest daughter, who was 4 at the time.
A 4-year-old, mind you, right?
Yeah.
Can change and your I'm world.
I'm still going to get emotional about this. This was 5 years ago, almost to the day, actually. I will never forget it. She shared with my wife. She asked my wife if I would ever be happy again. For most of her, for, you know, for half of her life and for what she could really remember at that point, I was sick. Mm-hmm. But she saw a photo of a family photo on the wall because she pointed to it. Will Daddy ever be happy again? She saw me smiling. And, you know, that right there, I was sitting in this chair in this office and my wife shared that with me. And I said, you know what, to myself, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not even going to get better. I'm going to become 120% better. Little did I know what that would transpire into, because I had no knowledge of any of what I'm about to share, but it just lit this fire within me. And so I'd set an intention right there that no matter what it took, no matter how long it took, I was going to reach that 120% better. And I don't know why 120%, that's just what came to me at the time.
You must be one of those overachievers, right?
Well, I just decided that it had felt like it had taken so much from me that I was going to take more than
back.
So if I was going to experience it, I was going to reach a new level of life. Didn't know that was even possible at the time, but that was just the intention I set. That drastically 180 degree turned around my journey from that point. The moment I did that, it's not that I started to physically feel better or anything like that, but things started to change in my mindset, in the way that I spoke, in the way that I visualized things, in my emotional state. Because I still had days, I hesitate whether I should just share the outcome first, or I'm just going to share the outcome. 4 weeks, and I sometimes hesitate to share this, but I want people to know what is possible. Everybody's journey is unique. But 4 weeks after setting that intention, I experienced that 120% better. I experienced the spontaneous remission or healing. And that was the kickoff. And the reason I hesitate to say that is sometimes is because I want people to know what's possible, but also not to weigh or compare. Comparison is such a trap that, he did it in 4 weeks. Why haven't I? Or anything like that. Please take that off the table.
And that's, you know, I think that's important for the listeners to know, because it's all of our journeys are so individualized, right? Like, God does amazing things in the world. He does amazing things in our mind, our body, everything about that, you know, whether you're spiritual or whatever your beliefs are. But that's, you know, one of the small reasons I do this show is so that people can share their journey and what worked for them, whether it's a treatment protocol or whatever. That doesn't mean what I did to get well is going to work for the next person, right? And so that's why we never want to compare our own journeys, because it's our own personal journey, right? Like, we take bits and pieces from people, and I just want to have the platform to share of the many different ways that you can heal. And yours is just one of them, right? So, no, and it is, you know, we, in this journey, our mind, we're all messed up, we're all confused, we don't understand anything. And then somebody tries to, you know, say, oh, I was healed in 4 weeks by, you know, doing this or doing that. And we just really need to, you know, I take it for the most part, probably anybody listening to this is either struggling themselves or they have a loved one that's struggling, right? And just know that if you're in a rut, if you're not getting well, if you're just really being dragged down, have an open mind. You know, I think that's the biggest part of it is we are so, I don't know what the word, trained or whatever, to do so things the way we're supposed to do it.
Conditioned.
Right? Conditioned. Right. Thank you. That's my word. You know, just like when we grow up and we get sick and our parents take us to the doctor and we take the pill and we get better. You know what I mean? And that's why many people are so stuck on antibiotics and the traditional treatment. But a lot of times it doesn't work. And if you venture out and become curious and opened your mind, a lot of things can change. So I'm excited. Okay, I'm going to try to shut up a lot because I want you to be able to say all the stuff.
Oh, you're okay. Because if what I'm about to share, number one, if it doesn't resonate with you, that's okay. You take what you can from it. I hope it helps. Because I, you know, thinking back, if somebody would have shared some of this information with me, I would have been so resistant to it. And I probably would still be sick if I remained that. But Lyme humbled me and opened me up because it forced me to. I mean, that's what I was doing before was not working. Nothing, no treatment or anything like that. Some of them were marginal, 1% a little bit, you know, or short term. But I was looking for that life-changing, you know, putting it behind me.
Yeah.
But I want to get into the what's that look like? You know, once I made that mindset shift, that set that intention, and that's very important, was I had to set my desire, my intention. Because now looking back on it, I can connect the dots. I didn't know, again, what I was doing at the time, but I say that because I did, but I didn't. And I want people to know that we have the answers within us. We know that we ultimately know, But I had to, number one, set that intention and then shift my focus. I mentioned that I didn't physically feel any better right away at all. I still had a couple of very severe panic attacks. I'd never experienced one before. Anxiety, depression, insomnia. I wouldn't sleep for days. But what that did is I stopped focusing on that I was going to end up in a wheelchair to start imagining, if you will, or believing that, hey, I'm going to come out better than I even came in. It started to give me a little bit of hope. And our thoughts are so powerful. Our words are so powerful. We are so powerful.
Yes.
And had it not been for the journey, I would not have learned that. But we are more powerful than we've been allowed to realize. And once I set that intention, I started to look and respond to everything differently. So all the fear thoughts still came up that I would never get better. I was going to die early. I was going to be miserable the rest of my life, all of those things. But I had to respond and react differently. Since my mind was on 120% better, that meant I had to treat everything that happened after that intention as a step towards my ultimate goal. So that meant if I couldn't get out of bed because I was in so much pain and so exhausted, I had to go from beating myself up to I have to provide for my family. I have to go to work. I have to mow the lawn. I was very hard on myself. And I know a lot of us out there are. That was only keeping me in sickness. That was only me telling my body it wasn't good enough. I felt like I was being punished, you know, all of those things. So I started to use those thoughts basically against themselves. Oh, if the thought came up, oh, you're never going to heal. I just changed it to I'm healing faster and faster. And I think it's important to share too why all of this is important, why this is such a key thing. And I feel it's a missing part in a lot of people's journey is because our bodies are capable of healing themselves. They're miraculous, amazing machines I'll just say a machine in a loose term. But I could not heal from a state of fight or flight or stress. I had to reprogram my mind, or reprogram my subconscious so that my body could respond in healing, in peace, in love, not in away from a state of stress.
And fear.
I was constantly trying to survive. I was constantly in fear. And the whole journey was just a tumbling down of all of that. You know, you don't get answers. You fear the worst. You keep going to the doctor. There's no answers. So I had to reverse that whole process. And as I did that, that freed up energy in my body. It allowed my body to harmonize. And everything is energy. I had a lot of emotional blocks. I had a lot of emotional baggage, trauma. And I had to allow myself to move through those so that my body could do what it's naturally designed to do and heal and get back to homeostasis. It wants to. It can. But I kept finding myself in these loops of I would get a little bit better, slam back down. Oh, I'm making progress. Slam back down. It might be for an hour. It might be for a day. It might be for a week. And that still came about after I set that intention. But what I did was change the way that I perceived them and responded to them. An example, I had a panic attack. Well, they were extremely scary. You feel completely out of control. Couldn't breathe. I started to just tell myself, I'm okay. I'm okay. And this is internal dialogue. Self-talk is so important. Mm-hmm. I just allowed myself to experience it. And it passed quicker than prior times because I wasn't resisting. What we resist will persist. And I was retraining my body to that it's okay. The body needed to feel safe because it was responding without me. I had built up so much stress, emotion, fear, doubt, worry, that my body just didn't know what to do anymore. It just was like, lose control.
Yeah. And when you have a panic attack, which I think most of us do during this journey, what's our first initial response is we want to panic more because our body's panicking, right? And so now you just flipped it over the thing. And so that right there is huge to know in your mind that you talk yourself through it, walk yourself through it, because we don't want to throw anxiety on top of the panic attack that we're having or panic on top of the anxiety attack we're having, right?
Right. And it's important to for people out there to know that the body responds to the mind. The body, the mind doesn't respond to the body. But in a lot of cases, we take it that way. We check in with our body. Oh, I feel anxious. So then the thoughts start going, why am I anxious? What's going to come next? You know, we start to focus on all the things to fear based on our past experiences. If anybody out there is familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza, he talks about reconditioning the body to a new mind. Well, that's what I was doing. I was conditioning my body to the mind of safe, health, joy, love, peace. But it had to start at my lowest point, and I had to build that new mind. And by just telling myself that I'm okay, I allowed myself to experience it. And that evolved very quickly to, okay, I'm okay, and this is my body doing what it needs to do to heal faster. And actually, that's what it was actually taking place. But because I kept fearing it, I wasn't allowing my body to do it. But when I started to, you know, internally believe that, that's exactly what it turned into. Our beliefs are so powerful that I can't even express it here. But as I retrained my brain and impressed my subconscious that, hey, this is my body healing faster. Well, the next time that I had one, there was a kind of an internal little bit of excitement. Okay, yeah, I'm healing faster. And it continued to build a compounding effect that I'm like, wait a minute, this is working. That doesn't mean I felt drastically better right away, but I could connect some dots here. You know, I respond in a loving or in a different way, I get a new outcome. Yeah. And then at some point I had my last panic attack. I don't remember when that last one was, but it doesn't matter. I told my body that it was healing faster.
Yeah. And you know, that's one piece I took from you quite a while ago was, you know, my thing that I share with people is it's okay to have a bad day, right? Like you're extra pain today, you're having that anxiety attack, you're whatever it is, it's okay to have a bad day. And now what I share with people is what you just said. This is not a bad day. The reason you're having these elevated symptoms is because your body's actually doing some extra healing today. And it really is like, I wish I would have known that on my journey, because that's kind of powerful. And I'm not saying, right, we've got to be these little robots that have no feelings, no emotions. Like you said, so many times these things would pop up into your head, right? We're natural humans. But it's all about how you react to them and how you talk to yourself and your mind. And yeah, I just think it's incredible. So it's a bad day is totally different than an extra day of healing, right?
Yeah. And I knew you were going to bring that up because
I've said it to you a million times before. I love it.
and that was, that's reframing in my mind. So I stopped saying that I was having a bad day. My wife even reminded me of this is, I was hobbling around the kitchen, holding on to the countertop because I could hardly walk. And she just felt so awful that I was experiencing it. And she would express that a lot. So prior to my intention, my reaction and response was, I know this sucks. This is terrible. I'm so miserable. I hate this.
Why me?
Why me? What Why am I being punished? You know, all of those things. Fast forward to after I set that intention, because my mind was focused on I was becoming 120% better. She said that again, and she reminded me that my response was, it's okay, honey. This is teaching me. I allow it to take place. That response was pivotal in my healing journey, because that's how I was. That was the perspective change that I had about everything. See, we play this what if game all the time. Well, what if this happens, or this happened in the past? What if it happens again? That is conditioning our body to fear, to anxiety, depression, and it only knows what we input it. So as I was doing that, my body, I was freeing up energy. I was removing emotional blocks. I was peeling back the layers, and my body responded. And that whole perspective change was, I started to play, what if this is my body healing faster? What if I know this happens in pretty much everybody's journey. I still felt like there was times that I took 10 steps backwards. I regressed. Well, had I continued to respond in the old way, I would keep getting it. I'm sure everybody has somewhat observed these cycles that we get into. Well, that just meant I didn't learn the lesson, and the cycle was just going to continue. But because I changed my perspective, I was changing the outcome from one of fear to one of embrace to surrender. And that was just so important. And quickly, I learned, like I said, that, hey, this is working. I started to fall in love with the journey. I wasn't so focused on the destination anymore. Like, when am I going to heal? How am I going to heal? It came to the point of like, wow, I'm learning so much from this. I would have never learned or met these people or discovered any of this had I not gone through it. And that's why I say Lyme was my greatest blessing. It was. It transformed me who I was always meant to be, but I wore this mask of the conditioning of the world, who I thought I needed to be for my family, for the world to be accepted. I had to finally take that off. You know how exhausting that was I don't even know how I did it, but I would hide my symptoms and everything from everybody. It was so exhausting.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it anymore. So I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I set boundaries, but I celebrated every single step. That 10 steps backwards, I celebrated it. Why is that important? Because I had to set the tone for the next moment and the next moment. I was writing a script of how I wanted life to go instead of writing a script of how I didn't want it to go. And that meant me reversing everything from before.
And it's not just you say it once and it happens, right? Like, it's a process. It's not, the Lyme journey isn't easy. And, you know, all these tools that you're throwing out there and things that you worked for you, it wasn't easy, right? We still have that human nature of things to pop into our head. It's a process that you work through.
Yeah, sure. Anything that we want to master, you know, anything we get good at, we practice it, right? Well, I had to mentally, physically, and mentally practice being healed. And that meant I had to, this was the hard part, was letting, you know, Dr. Joe, I think, says it as dying to the old self. I had to let all of the fears, all the baggage that I carried throughout my life, that this person mistreated me. I hated my father at the time, you know, before that, growing up, that, but all of that was just a lesson. And our body is always communicating to us. So for me in my journey, every symptom was trying to get my attention and tell me what it needed to heal. And all I had to do was tune into it, tune out of that loud voice that kept in fear.
Yeah.
to the voice, that still small voice that I believe we all have inside, that, hey, this is helping me grow. This is leading me to a new level of life that I had no idea existed. And I want everybody to know that, that their life on the other side is way beyond anything I could imagine. I didn't even know it was possible to experience that. Just pure unconditional love, joy, peace, fulfillment. I looked my entire life outside of me for those things, in success and achievements. And I thought life was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like before Lyme.
Yep.
No. I was deeply mistaken. And this is, there's a whole other level that we can all achieve, that I believe we can all achieve. And I want, this is why I share my stories, because I want other people to experience it as well.
Yeah, no, it really is. Just like you said, my life prior to Lyme, like, it was pretty amazing, right? And I still, looking back, I don't have any complaints, but it's just another level. And it's just all of the many, many things that were truly blessings that Lyme gave me, you know, and I understand this is hard to grasp and when we're in the thick of it, right? Like, you're telling me I'm going to be this transpired, you know, miraculous person. And I mean, it really just is accepting what you're doing, right? Like, embracing the journey. You say you love the journey, right? Like, I have never really gotten to that point. I'm always like, it was a great journey. I wish maybe I didn't have quite as much pain I had to go through, right? But it's still just embracing that journey and where you are and celebrating all those little wins, right? And those 10 steps backwards, that's not a loss. That's still a win, because your body is doing something, right?
Absolutely.
It's healing in some way. And so it really is. And I think that this journey is hard enough as it is to keep track of your medications and your appointments and, you know, everything you have to do and keep your stress down and detox and nutrition and just all this stuff, right? And so now here you are telling these listeners, okay, now you got to change your mind and you got to, right, focus, embrace all this stuff. Like, oh my goodness, right? But do everything in bite-sized pieces, right? And I say that a lot, because when you're looking at, you know, let's say, for example, one of your issues is pain and you have a hard time walking and you're looking down the street and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to get to the end of the road, right? That's a lot. Like, it kind of, you're defeated before you even get started. So there are those negative, you know, that negative feedback loop going through your brain. And so take it in bite-sized pieces. You know, if you know that you're struggling with one, okay, let me change my mindset, or let me work, as you know, work on embracing this, or whatever it is. Just take one little step at a time and do it small like that, because then it becomes more achievable. And Ricky and I were on a call earlier today with one of our friends, and he used a great analogy of somebody who needed to lose a bunch of weight. And so he goes into a trainer and let's start with 10 pounds, right? That's a bite-sized piece of it. We really need you to lose 50, but we're going to start at 10 because 50 sounds unattainable. So once you lose that 10 pounds, man, are we ever jazzed and convinced that, hey, I can do this and this is achievable, right? So when you're able to find one little thing that you can conquer during this, it just gives you so much more power and hope and determination that, hey, I got this, right? And that is all just going to help you change the shift in your mind.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, one thing that I really struggled with is once I started to embrace those small steps, that the old self wanted to kick in and go, well, I would celebrate maybe if I couldn't walk, getting out of bed and taking 10 steps. Well, the old self wanted to go, well, I used to run a marathon, you know, or what, you know, I used to be able to sprint and lift X amount of weight and things like that. I had to let that go. That was in the past. I was a new person. I was healing, and I had to allow myself to shift my focus back, because focus is a superpower in our journey. I really, truly believe that. Instead of focusing on what I couldn't do anymore, I was focusing and celebrating on the victory in that moment. I was making progress. And as I focus more on the progress, regardless of how small or big is subjective. Mm-hmm. You know, a Mack truck is huge. Well, the Earth is huge. Wait a minute. So is Jupiter. You know, right. So we could go all kinds of different ways. So I had to humble myself in that moment and go, wait a minute, I am doing a great job. So much of this was self-talk, self-encouragement, because I felt abandoned by everybody, every doctor, family, friends. I was alone. But what I started to realize is I started to support myself. I started to get support, even from random people. I'd get a note congratulating me on you know, pushing through and to have hope. As I changed, the world around me changed. And that really showed me firsthand, before I learned it fully, that my inner world creates my inner outer world.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that really, I have two daughters. My youngest daughter is the one that asked if I'd ever be happy again. I was so miserable. I would distance myself from them. And my wife and I were on the verge of divorce. Afterwards, my oldest daughter said, I have my daddy back. And that was just, wow, just huge. But every, you know, almost every relationship that was strained came back, multiplied, was closer than ever. But I had to be the one to change. I had a victim mentality before. I had to shift it to a conquering mentality. I had to face my fears. I had to overcome traumas and heal them, because the body is responding to the mind.
Yes.
And I started to talk to my body and be grateful for it, for healing. Where I was unhappy with myself, I started to love myself. Love does heal, but I had to show myself love first. And then I started to experience love around me. I started to see the beauty of life, and share something else too, just to give an example of how powerful and how effective this is. I've shared with you before, but I used to be colorblind.
Yeah.
I used to be red, green colorblind. This is the power of our mind. I couldn't tell the difference between red and green stoplights. I had to learn the order. I live in the Northeast, so we have fall. I didn't like it because all I could see is yellows and dullness. I could never see the colors.
And were you born that way? Like, you've always been that way?
Yep. Okay. I learned at a young age. I took a colorblind test just a part of a general physical, and I was born that way, and I was colorblind ever since then. But these were all little breadcrumbs leading me to the ultimate realization and healing. This is after my intention, but before my healing. It was this time 5 years ago, because we were celebrating our anniversary with my wife. And she got me the colorblind correcting glasses. And so I put them on for the first time, and I could see color that I couldn't see before. And because I was so amazed at what I couldn't see, I would flip them up and down to kind of compare.
Like, yeah, yeah.
And I did that for a few weeks, just in amazement of like, I was just so blown away that I could finally see these colors that I never knew I couldn't see before. I did it so much to the point of when I would flip them up and down, I could no longer see any change. I'd reprogrammed my mind, and I became a new state of being, if you will, that I turned off the colorblind gene. I was becoming a new person that was no longer colorblind. I had to become a new person that was no longer sick. But I had to do that while I was still colorblind. I was still sick. I had to become that new person. And I talk about Lyme, and I share this a lot, that Lyme is my greatest blessing. Yes, my family is. But I would not be here and I would not be who I always desired to be for them if I had not gone through it. And I hear this quite a bit. People will tell me, well, yeah, it's easy to be grateful for it now. You're on the other side.
Yes.
But the key was I had to start treating it, even though I didn't feel like it, as a blessing before I could experience it as a blessing. That was so important. I would tell myself I loved the pain. I was miserable. I couldn't stand the pain, but I started to tell myself I loved the pain. And that made me to the realization that pain is growth. You know, we can experience pain. If we go to the gym, we can experience soreness and pain from the gym, right? But we treat it as growth.
Yeah, we're not mad about that, right? Like, we understand, right. Hey, this is supposed working. To happen. Or, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to happen. Well, I just basically took that and applied it to the pain I was experiencing. Hey, my body's growing and healing. Sure, I'm going to experience some pain. So I changed it in that fashion as well.
Yeah.
But you mentioned how, go ahead.
No, I just was going to say that I'm glad that you mentioned that you did this during your journey, right? Because I had one shift in my journey when finally 7 years later, I got my diagnosis. Prior to my diagnosis, it was, I'm never going to get well. I'm sick. I'm going to die. But I think in my mind, it's because the doctor said nothing's wrong with me. It's all in my head, right? So if nothing's wrong with me, I can't get well. And when I got my diagnosis, I truly did that mindset shift. I just was like, okay, fine. Now I know what I have. I've got this. I can do this. I'm going to get well. I didn't learn a lot of the other things, like embrace the journey and not, it's not a bad day. It's an extra day. Like all the, you know, things that you're sharing with us today, that I did not learn during my journey. I learned it after it, you know, and so you did it during, which is incredible. I did it after. I'm pretty sure I much rather would have done it during, right? But I didn't know. We don't know what we don't know. And that's why I think that the words that you share, I always love talking to you because I swear I take away something new every single time. It's just, it's mind blowing. And I just love it. That was what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. And you mentioned earlier about it feeling overwhelming and all of that. I experienced all of that as well. Like, I was obsessively searching the internet for the next answer, the next treatment, you know, obsessing over how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to achieve that? I know that's a big thing, and I know I've shared a lot on here, but I want people to know that once I truly set that intention, things began to change, and it became simpler, a little bit simpler, and then simpler and simpler. It turned into that I knew the next right thing to do. Not 10 steps, not 2 steps, but 1 step next.
Small bites, yeah.
Small bites. I just took it 1 step at a time. I celebrated the step no matter what, and I changed my perspective of everything that I was experiencing, which brings me to my next kind of key point is control. I wanted to control my outcome. I wanted to control people that didn't believe that I was sick. I had to convince them because it somehow would justify what I was going through.
Yeah.
I just trying to touch on all the things that I experienced that I know other people were experiencing. I had to let go of that. I had to let go of the control to gain control. It taught me that I have control over one thing, my thoughts and how I respond. And when I changed those, that changed the outcome of my entire journey. I couldn't control what anybody else was doing or what was taking place around me. I couldn't even control at the time that I was sick. But I could change my focus on what I focused on and how I reacted and responded. I became a whole new person. Changed everything from the diet that I from the foods that I used to like, the way I spoke, to not being colorblind anymore, to not being sick anymore, not to be on the verge of divorce anymore, to have family strained and relationship strained, to being closer than ever. Like, getting better is not just the ultimate goal, but I want for people to experience going from hell to heaven.
Yeah.
Here, now.
Yeah.
But I had to
rest in peace, right? Live in peace.
Yes, live in peace. We don't have to wait to experience that level of unconditional love, peace, and joy. It's here and now. It was within me all along. I was religious somewhat. I would pray. It's just the way I was, you know, raised in church. And I would pray, and but no answer ever came. So I started to question my faith. I started to question God in that maybe I wasn't worthy of being healed. Maybe I didn't do enough good deeds. All of that was a lesson in itself. So along with how a lot of this came to my realization was that I experienced a spontaneous healing. What I experienced physically was like this huge surge of energy surged through my body. I felt like not being electrocuted, but just being electrified by life, excited, joy, just so, you know, you hear something that really resonates with you, you get goosebumps, times that by 1,000. And I experienced what I didn't know was possible, was a spiritual awakening. And during that time, it was similar to the best, easiest way I can explain it. It was similar to a near-death experience, but I didn't physically die. My wife questions whether I got electrocuted or not, but I didn't. We're getting a little deeper here, but I kind of had like a life review. And what it was revealed to me is that everything that I experienced in my life was trying to help me grow. If I remove judgment from this is a bad thing, this is traumatic, I'm not trying to justify anything that anybody's going through, but I could see it as always perfect or trying to help me experience a new level of life. But my response to it was in fear, because we're so conditioned to fear, the news, you know, everything, commercials, movies. All of that I had bottled up within me. And some of that is, I think, being part of, you know, being a man. Mm-hmm. We're told not to feel, not to be emotional, not to express ourselves. So I bottled up all this anger, all this hate, resentment, doubt, worry, fear. So my body, no wonder it was responding with all these symptoms. And how I look at it now is I like to use the analogy of our check engine light in our car. You know, a sensor detects something off or anything like that. The check engine light comes on and says, hey, pay attention to me. Well, every symptom was trying to get my attention to reveal to me what I needed to heal emotionally, mentally. And as I did, I addressed those things and let go. My body responded in healing, but I had to listen to my body first. And, you know, I carried so much baggage throughout my life that I didn't need to carry. And it took Lyme for me to finally let go of all that baggage. I felt just heavy in life. We talked about life was good before Lyme, right? Yeah. But ultimately, deep down, I still felt unworthy. I struggled with depression. Life was good, you know, materially. I had a good job, beautiful family, car, house, you know, but I always wanted something more. It was never lasting fulfillment. This was. And I was looking outside of me the entire time when I needed to be right in here.
Yeah. And I love that you said the check engine light. I mean, who doesn't pay attention to that, right? Like, we don't do anything. We drive, we change our oil, we put gas in the car. But when that check engine light comes on, whoa, stop, I can't drive, right? Why don't people do that with their body, mm-hmm. right? When our body is telling us something, you have that because it's trying to tell you something. And that's when we become aware and more in tune with our body. And the other thing I wanted to touch on that you just said a second ago, we can't control. I tell people that if you are trying to control or change something that's out of your control, right? If you're giving it your stress, your thoughts, it's like you're paying a debt that you don't even owe, right? So what can you control? Your mind, your thoughts, how you react to things. Those are in our control, right? And so that should be the only thing we want to try to control. And for you, it was life-changing, right?
Yes. Yes, complete 180. And, you know, what else I realized too, and it doesn't matter your beliefs. I'm not telling anybody what they need to believe in. If you believe in a higher power, that's great. What else was revealed to me there was that all of that was happening for me. Everything that I experienced in life was helping me, you know, uncover my true self, my authentic self, and to live life joyously. But the moment I set that intention, what else was revealed to me is that I was already healed by God, or, you know, divine source, creator, whatever it is for you. I had to do my part. And, you know, if
you're not going to get a freebie, right?
Right. I had to do my part in fully believing in healing before I could experience it. I had to impress my subconscious with health, vitality, those types of things. You know, I talked about prayer earlier and how my prayer wasn't being answered. I thought God abandoned me, all of those things. Prayer became, and it even says it in the Bible. And again, if you're not religious, that's okay. I'm just using examples for different people, to pray as if you have already received. Well, if that meant I had to start experiencing gratitude, joy, surrender for the healing that I had not experienced yet, but I had to have full faith that it was going to come. And because I was so intent and I had my why was my family.
Yes.
I was doing it for them. I was doing it for myself, and I was doing it for the community as a whole to prove that it could be done. And I started to even visualize things like, visualization is very powerful, but being on the cover of a Lime magazine of being a success story. I haven't been, but that was, I'm just using that as an example of how the mind shifted from picturing myself in a wheelchair, which had I kept that, I believe I would be in a wheelchair today, to a visual of achieving my goal, being the person that I always desired to be. And it was within me all along. I had to let go of all the baggage and conditioning that I picked up throughout my life. And there's generational traumas too that I had to overcome too. I don't hear that one talked about a lot, but science has even proven that trauma can be passed through our DNA. Mm. I had to overcome that as well. And when we heal ourselves, we heal the people around us as well. So there's so much more to this that I had never even had an idea of. And it opened me up to all of that. And, you know, that's why, you know, I'm glad you said that earlier, is keep an open mind with this.
Yeah.
It's vastly different than what I was ever taught.
Right.
And conditioned to.
Yeah, and that's the word, conditioned, right? It's how we are. And then I love that you said that, you know, you find your why, your family was your why. We do. We need a why. I think initially we need a why. We need a person, in my mind. We need a tangible reason of why we're going to fight, or why we're going to go through the process of changing our mindset, why we're going to go, you know, and mine was my niece and my nephew because they were like my kids. That was my why. That was why I needed to fight. But I just lost my train of thought. What do you say? Because, you know, and I think that a lot of us during this journey, I know for myself, you know, I'm very much a Christian. I was always one to pray. A lot of people, you know, pray to get better and pray to this, you know, I want to pray for that guidance to carry me through this, right? But we lose trust in our faith. right? Because we don't understand why we were so bad. Why is he doing this? Why is he punishing us? You know, for many years, I had this love-hate relationship with him. And I think, again, that's part of something that we take away from this journey, right? That we learn that that really wasn't the case, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, and I know you and I have talked about this before. I want to ask you, before we end, what do you tell people? Because again, like, we're conditioned certain ways, right? We can't fault ourselves for having these thoughts in our head. It's just human nature, I think. So we got this, the devil on one shoulder, right? And the angel on the other. And we fight that. And I'm sure that there's listeners out there that can absolutely resonate with what I just said, right? Is there something you can tell us? Because that right there could be our biggest first battle, right? Like this, mm-hmm. this, and then over here, this. Any thoughts, tips on how to even just kind of maneuver through that part of it?
Absolutely. So there, that's a great analogy. And we talk about that often. And I continually listen to that devil on my shoulder that was saying, I'd never get better. It's not possible. Yeah. You can't do it. Nobody's coming to help you. All of those. The most empowering thing from that is I learned I had a choice of what I place my focus on. So the thought comes up, you're never going to get better. Well, there's also that voice that says, you're getting better and better. This is leading you to a place that you never, you know, people might not have that exact thought, but in general, there's duality there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a choice of what I chose to focus on. And where our focus goes is where our energy flows. And that's where we're attracting to us more and more of what we place our focus on.
Yeah.
There's so many tools out there. Some of them may work for you. Some of them may work for me. You know, it, always, and I will always say this, do what resonates with you. Ask yourself, what would bring me the most joy in this moment? And then use any of the infinite number of tools or come up with your own. But what you want to do is with those tools is utilize them to shift your focus away from what you don't want to what you do want, whether that be a gratitude journal. When you become grateful for it, and it, you know, studies have shown it takes roughly about 21 days to reprogram your subconscious mind, you will start to attract and see things in a whole new way that you will be deeply grateful for. I like mind movies. So it's like a vision board, but with animation. So I will use images that are inspiring, uplifting. Music was a huge one in my journey that really moved me. So I might pair it with a inspiring and motivational song, or getting on YouTube and listening to it, a positive and motivating podcast, speech, anything like that. Those were all things that I changed. I used to listen to heavy metal, rock music, rah, 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 you know.
That's great for your nervous system.
Right. But I was, that's the way I was before. And I started to listen to these peaceful or, you know, uplifting things. I continually reshifted my focus to from away from what I didn't want, whether it be right on your mirror, I am healthy, I am well. See, your subconscious is always picking up everything around you, whether you know it or not. So set little reminders, put a reminder in your phone for every hour to remind you of an affirmation that works for you. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. Breath is extremely powerful. Breath is life. There's different breath work techniques. Breathing. I'm a fan of Wim Hof, of the breath technique. Boy, do I feel relaxed after I do that. So if I would experience anxiety, and there's, I want to pause there for 1 second. This is very important too. I am are the two most powerful words that you will ever use in your life. So I stopped saying that I am angry because I was tying my identity to that emotion. So my body's going to respond in anger. I have caught myself there, but it become second nature to me to say I'm experiencing something. There's no bad emotions. I'm grateful to experience every one of them, or each one of them showing me something, teaching me something. So I state that differently. But if I would experience anger, I might scream into a pillow, punch a pillow, express it in a healthy way, feel it to heal it, allow yourself to cry.
I love that. And I love that you're sharing, yell into a pillow. It's not all roses, right? We can sometimes make things sound to be all roses. It's not. Feel it to heal it. I love that.
Yes. Feel it to heal it. And as you do, as you move through those things, because you are extremely powerful, courageous, bold. I don't care who you are. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Created so perfectly. It's overcoming those conditionings, those limiting beliefs, those fears. When I finally opened the door, the closet I had all the rest of my fears in, there was nothing there that I wasn't putting there because of my own doubt, fears, unworthiness. I just faced them when I fully surrendered to God. And that's when I experienced healing. And it showed me that that was keeping me in that feedback loop of negativity, of sickness, of suffering. But it led to this place beyond life, beyond anything I can explain. Yeah. And I want that for everybody.
Yes. And I agree. It's absolutely possible for everybody. And I think that I've always had the feeling that everything happens for a reason. And a lot of my friends and family hate it when I say that. But I truly believe it. And there's a reason we're all going through this journey, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, embrace it. Let's see what you can take away from it. And if you're listening today and you're really struggling and you're having a hard time and you're feeling like you're taking all these steps backwards in your mind, like Ricky just said, 21 days, you can recondition that mind, right? Why not try it? What do you have to lose? It's not costing you a penny, right? Everything else in this journey costs a lot of money. So what do you have to lose? Give it a try, because the other side's amazing. And that's our blessing from, you know, not just becoming friends with you and all the other people I've met along the journey. It's just a whole nother outlook on life. And it's pretty mind-blowing, actually.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Ricky, I seriously could talk to you forever. You just touched on so many things, and I just want to thank you again for, you know, what you do in the community and what you give back and just, you know, sharing these what seems like small little things, right, that don't mean anything. But either you do it during your journey, I think, or when you get well, if you didn't focus and do all the things that we're talking about in today's episode, you're going to deal with them afterwards, right? And part of it is you're going to have that fear of getting sick again. You're going to be triggered when you go out into the woods where you got bit. You know what I mean? We don't want to live in fear, because neither one of us do, and it's an amazing feeling. So you're going to have to kind of go down this emotional mindset, focus, shift, all of that at some point, either now or later. That I can almost kind of promise you, can't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Or it's going to keep you in this cycle that's going to keep beating you down.
Yes, exactly. All right, my friend, thank you so, so much for sharing with us. And we will be sure to put your information in the title if anyone wants to reach out to you, because I know that you're available to help lots of people. So I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you for the opportunity.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.